Tax Committee to order. Members, thank you for your haste in getting over here. We're going to do a house file. Representative Curtis, if you could help us, house file. 464, we now have a quorum, whoops. We now have a quorum. Representative Solberg moves house file 464. Representative Curtis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I appreciate if we could move our language into there. Mr. Michael has the information.
Representative Solberg moves the amendment that Mr. Michael's going to let us know what it is right now. Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the amendment is to insert the language of the unofficial engrossment of Senate File 276 into House File 464. So that would take the language from the unofficial engrossment, which is in the files, and just insert it rather than drafting a separate amendment. That would be a more efficient way to handle this. So then you will be working off the language of the unofficial engrossment.
Representative Solberg renews his motion to insert the House file language in your packet. Discussion to the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Representative Surge.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is the health insurance for school employees bill. This bill is brought to us today before this committee because of a tax provision towards the end of the bill. And was caught recently and should be here. So this is a tax that is paid already by the individual organizations for the individual plans, but now it'd be paid by this board. If Mr. Michael has any more information, I'd be happy to turn it over to him to explain.
Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the tax provision of this bill is contained in Section 5. As Representative Surdich described, there are a variety of plans out there, and as I understand it, a number of them are done as self-insured plans, which are not subject to the premium tax. Some of them are done with under contracts with HMOs and Blue Cross type policies, nonprofit health service plans. Those plans pay tax at a 1% rate. There are a very small number of plans that use indemnity insurance carriers, and those plans are subject under present law at a 2% regular premiums tax rate. What Section 5 does, since all of these are being merged into this one board-operated plan, subjects them to a special premiums tax of 0.36% of gross premiums under the authority that applies to health maintenance organizations and nonprofit health service plans, and the proceeds of that new tax that replaces this, which is sort of a blend of the fact that many of these plans are now exempt, some of them are paying at 1%, and a few of them are paying at 2%. The Department of Revenue's revenue estimate is not done. They're still working on it. The revenue neutral rate actually might be a little bit higher, in which case there will need to be an amendment either in, probably in Ways and Means to set that rate at the revenue neutral rate. But that's a description of the provision.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Are there amendments? We have one amendment in front of us. I do, but it is not an amendment to the tax provision in this bill. So, members, first, I do want to say I want to apologize or confirm what Representative Cole said at the end of the session. It is not a favor to the minority. There is a tax provision here. What I meant is to try to work this in because we had meant to meet, I think, at noon today, members. So we're trying to get this done quickly. We've had one other bill that came to us this way that was Representative Saylor's e-waste where we looked at a tax provision. We stuck to the tax provision. So if there are amendments on the tax, Representative Simpson.
Madam Chair, well, this is kind of interesting. There's a fiscal note on this, and we don't know what it is. So we're supposed to vote on this provision to move this out of here, and we have no idea what it is. Is it $10 or is it $10,000 or is it $10 million? I mean, I think we're pushing this. Representative Surich, do you have any idea? I mean,
purpose of the service, if I may, before you respond, can I ask, Mr. Michael, is it a fiscal note that we're waiting for, a revenue estimate? Tax committee needs a revenue estimate. We don't need to act with a fiscal note. Was it a fiscal note that's not available?
Madam Chair, I believe there is a fiscal note for the bill. This is a revenue estimate. When I talked to Paul Wilson and exchanged emails with him today, they, based on information that they've gotten from the actuary, they think that there might be a small effect. The chances are that the revenue neutral rate, according to initial indications, are that it might be 0.39 rather than 0.36, or it might be 0.4. The effect is relatively small. Had we pushed them, they probably would have told us to do that, but they don't have it written up yet with, and okay. So they promised that they would have that ready by Ways and Means.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to answer Representative Simpson's question about the fiscal note, $4 million is the appropriation in here for general fund dollars.
Representative Simpson?
Well, should we determine that half of that will go towards this, or 10% of that $4 million, or do you have any, or is the full $4 million then the tax part of it?
Madam Chair, Representative Simpson, the money is there to set up the pool, actually, but if need be for this, if this is going to cost money, when we find out the revenue estimate, we would take the money from the $4 million. It's my assumption that it will be less than that.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm incredibly concerned about rushing the. I guess my question to Representative Sertich is, why does this bill have to get out of the Tax Committee tonight? We have a week of session left. We have amendments that we may or may not be offering, but we've got a week of session left, and we don't have the revenue note, the revenue estimate, and I'm not quite sure how the Tax Committee is supposed to act on the tax provisions when we don't have the explanation from the department about how they'll work. I mean, not that Mr. Michael can't explain what's going on here, but I mean, I have questions. Mr. Michael said there are some self-insureds, but I mean, how many? I heard when we were in finance that there were a couple of plants that were self-insured, Rochester and a couple others, but I mean, how many? How big is the universe we're talking about? How many are insured by HMOs? How many by indemnity companies? I mean, those are the types of questions that I think, as we're considering the tax policy implication here, that the tax committee should be considering. So why are we rushing this through at 25 minutes to 11 on Friday night when we still have a week of session?
Thank you, Mr. Madam Chair, and Representative Coles, I don't believe we're rushing it through, but this does have a few more stops before it gets to the floor, and then I'm pretty sure the bills are going to look different for conference committee, and we're going to need to wrap that up in an efficient manner. So in order to get this done on time, I feel it's important that we keep this bill moving along. I think in listening to Mr. Michael, there isn't that much concern on the movement on what this revenue estimate is going to be. So, like I said, it's got a few more stops before it hits the floor, and I think we'll be okay, though.
Madam Chair.
Representative Coles.
Madam Chair, Mr. Michael, can you tell us how many self-insured districts are out there?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Coles, I do not know. There was an actuarial study that was done a couple of years ago, which the Department of Revenue has. This blended rate, the 0.36, which Dr. Wilson indicated to me, he thinks the right number is probably 0.39, to essentially yield the same amount of tax revenue that the state is now collecting from the plans that are insured either by HMOs or indemnity insurers. That three, based on this actuarial study, which was done in 2004, 0.39 and is the right number. And so I don't know what the percentage of that is, but I suppose you could work back, and I think it's in the detail of that actuarial study. But he was indicating that he didn't think anything would change. It's just that they haven't written this up and they haven't put a dollar amount on the fund impact. But it's a very small amount on the general fund, and that this is going to be very close to revenue neutral at 0.39.
Madam Chair, Representative Sertich, can you explain to us the policy rationale for creating this new tax rate of 0.36 or 0.39 or 4.2 or 3.2 or whatever it ends up being? What is, other than trying to be revenue neutral, is there a policy reason for doing for setting up this new rate?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't believe all pools pay this rate, but I believe to make it revenue neutral and to recognize that fact, it was created to keep it in neutral. So that is the main reason why it was created.
Madam Chair, Representative Sertich, why is it that Section 5 is not effective until July 1st, 2009?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Coles, I don't believe that the pool will be ready until then, so I believe that's the reason.
Madam Chair, Representative Sertich, do you believe that's the reason, or that's why? I mean, it's your, with all due respect, begging your pardon, or however Representative Olson might say it, why? And not what you believe, but I mean, it's your bill. Why?
Okay. Are there amendments to this bill on the tax provision?
Madam Chair, I was hoping Representative Sertich was going to ask my
question. Okay. Are we on the tax issue?
Well, it has to do with the effective date of the tax provision, so I think the answer is yes.
All right. Representative Sertich, and then we're going to go to amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have Lee Johansson here from Education Minnesota, who's helped craft this bill.
Madam Chair, my name is Lee Johansson. I'm with Education Minnesota. And the response to the question is that these taxes are associated with premiums that are paid when an insurance plan is effective. When you look at the bill, it says that the effective date of insurance will be July 1 of 2009. And so we don't start collecting premiums until that time, and so the tax associated with premiums doesn't take effect until that time.
Okay. Thank you for that. President Coles? Were you? No? Okay. Are there any amendments?
Oh, Madam Chair?
No amendments. Representative LaForest?
Madam Chair, to this point, I can wait. I did have a couple questions on understanding this. I did watch what happened in finance, but not real closely, and I just had a couple of questions.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I actually did have an amendment. I turned it in, and although I guess you could say that it doesn't directly deal with the tax provision, but the amendment says the board may not offer the plan until the Commissioner of Commerce has certified that it's actuarially sound. So if we're going to start levying a tax, I guess you could make the argument that it's not directly, it doesn't have the word tax in it, but if we're going to send this plan out of here on behalf of the teachers that Representative Sertich's bill is going to address,
it's through the House.
It better be actuarially sound. And Madam Chair, begging your pardons, I'd like to move the SO-276A7 amendment.
Hey, Representative Zellers, we have something over here. Is it the A7? That's not a tax amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep.
Page 3. Members, the tax provisions on page 6 of the bill. Now, this amends page 3. So, Representative Zellers, in keeping with what we've done in the past, when we've had a bill that folks wanted to see for a tax provision, I believe the one like that we did was e-waste. We stuck to the tax items. And I know that Representative Seifert addressed concern that we get back to the floor, and I don't see this to be a tax amendment. So, well, Representative Sellers.
Madam Chair, and when we got to the e-waste discussion, I in that situation, yes, you're right. I did have several amendments that weren't necessarily directed at the tax policy that I was more than willing to withdraw. In this case, Madam Chair, I'm not. If we're going to send out this plan, I think it should be sound. If we're going to send a plan out of here that's going to raise teachers' rates because there's not the reserves or the assets to back up the plan, how can we in good conscience send this out of here? I mean, whether or not it says it addresses page 5 or page 3 of the tax provision or doesn't say the word tax, I'm just saying if it's going to be sound leaving here, the Commissioner of Commerce ought to be able to certify that. And whether or not, like I said, whether or not it's page 3 or page 5, page 6, whatever the tax provisions are, I just in good conscience, and I've moved the amendment, Madam Chair, the A7 amendment,
I'd appreciate members vote on the amendment.
Representative Sellers, may I ask you, and you've moved the amendment, are you aware of any other amendments that have to do with taxes? If there are no other amendments, we have time. Are there other amendments? Does anyone know?
Madam Chair.
Representative Simpson.
Not an amendment, but a question. Who administers the MCHA on this and who collects it?
Mr. Michael.
That's a tax, correct?
No.
It's not.
Not. No.
Okay. Well, I think as far as I can see here, members on my side of the aisle, I think the train has left the station. We're going back in 5 minutes back on the floor. There's no sense debating this. The decision was made before we came over here how this is going to go. So, as far as I'm concerned, vote it up. Go.
Well, we're here to debate tax issues, though. So if you want to debate tax issues, let's do that. So I haven't heard that yet.
Okay, well,
if there are no other amendments, I'll accept it, and we can just take a quick vote here. But we were trying to focus on the tax issues. So are there...
Madam Chair, to that point, then?
Yes.
If we're going to levy a tax, and we don't know if the plan is going to be actuarially sound, how are we going to then levy said tax?
Okay, so now you're discussing your amendment?
I'm discussing the tax.
And great job of it, Representative Zellers.
I'm discussing the tax. And, Madam Chair, to that point, and I think this came out of Commerce in March or April, and I think there were several days in March and April where, the Tax Committee met and we went through a number of different bills, but there were also days that we weren't on the floor debating the smoking ban.
Okay.
So I do appreciate the situation you're in and that you were put in, I should say, but the fact that we're going to have this, pushed up and out tonight because we didn't have enough quote-unquote time, I think is a little disingenuous.
Representative Zellers moves the A7 Amendment. Discussion to the A7 Amendment. Representative Paulson.
Madam Speaker, if we can just get copies of it.
Oh. Sure, I think we got it.
And I think someone wants to testify also.
I'm sorry, Representative.
Someone wants to testify on the amendment.
To the tax only. And we have a few minutes. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Phil Griffin. I'm here representing the Minnesota Council of Health last night. If I pass the page, please pass out some copies of things.
This is on the A7 amendment?
This is on the amendment, the bill as amended. No,
okay.
Not on the A7 amendment. Madam Chair, my comments today focus specifically on the
not on the amendment. Excuse me, I apologize. This is not on the A7 amendment. Okay, we're going to wait on that. Let's finish the A7 amendment. Discussion of the A7 amendment. Representative Zeller's request. Roll call on the A7 amendment. Representative Broad.
Madam Chair, we still don't have the amendment in front of us.
Right, we're not voting yet.
Okay, all right.
He's just asking for the roll call. Everybody have it yet? Representative,
Madam Chair, maybe I could ask a couple questions while this is being handed out so I understand exactly what it is we're voting on. I want to ask first question to you, Madam Chair. We will not see a revenue note this evening on this bill. Is that true?
Representative Dela Forest, that is true. This is very similar to the Ameriprise Representative Daphne's bill that we heard without a revenue estimate. We heard a number of bills this year without a revenue estimate. Many people had them both informationally and as bills. They were provided to the committee after we heard the bill.
And Madam Chair, I have a question for Representative Sertich. Representative Sertich, with this blended rate we've been talking about, we apparently don't know what that number is. I just want to ascertain from you, is it your intent as the author of the bill that this rate, whatever it might be, would be revenue neutral? Would that be your intent as the author?
Madam Chair,
Representative Sertich.
Yes, that would be my hope.
And Madam Chair, if I might, I have just two questions for Mr. Michael then to help me understand exactly what we're doing here. You mentioned a blended rate, Mr. Michael. That means to me then that some folks might be paying less of a tax and some might be paying more of a tax falling under this new blended rate. Is my observation correct?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Dela Forest, that's accurate. As I tried to explain before, there's a number of these plans that are administered as self-insured plans, and those plans do not pay a premium tax. A number of plans will contract with HMOs or nonprofit health service corporations for their insurance, and they pay a 1% premium tax. I think there are a very, very small number of plans that may use indemnity insurance, that pay a 2% tax on their premiums. The based on this actuarial study, when you lump all of the premiums together and impose the, I think based on what talking with Dr. Wilson is probably going to be point, I think the number was 0.3885, which if you look at the MCHA provision in here, that's the rate that's used for the MCHA contribution. So to get to your question, somebody who was in a self-insured plan and paid no tax at all obviously is going to have their tax go up, and someone that was insured under an HMO plan and was paying 1% would have their tax go down. And so yes, there will be, but the idea is that the government, that the state government will be collecting the same dollar amount from the aggregate of all of these plans as it was from them before.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Michael, what I'm understanding, is my observation correct that we don't know, those in state government, nobody knows as we sit here this evening with any precision what the correct revenue neutral multiplier is. Is that true? Do we know this evening? Does anybody know?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative De La Forest, no, that is not accurate. I think if Dr. Wilson were here, he would say that the 0.39 is the rate based on the information that they have, and I don't think he's expecting to get better information.
Okay, Madam Chair, my final question administratively, when can we know and through what means would we find out who's going to be paying a higher tax, who's going to be seeing a lower tax? Is that the kind of information that would be contained within the revenue note?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative De La Forest, I don't know exactly what will be included in the revenue estimate.
All right. Okay. Well, Madam Chair, it's hard to do the task committee's work, I think, on this bill with those questions unanswered.
Well, and Representative De La Forest, did you feel you got them answered?
Well, Madam Chair, no, we still don't know what precision. Mr. Michael is opined that apparently if we had Mr. Wilson here, he would know. Mr. Michael opines, and there are some people who will pay more and some will pay less, but I don't know who that is precisely. Mr. Michael's answered the question in general. That's my opinion.
Representative Broad to the A7 Amendment.
Well, actually, Madam Chair, my comment was more to you had said that we often have been moving bills through without revenue estimates. And I think the difference, Madam Chair, is that we were moving them by laying them over for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill, at which point those revenue estimates would be available and included in the full tax omnibus bill and in the spreadsheets and things like that. So I think this is a very different situation where we're moving it on to another committee. We have a tax provision that has a lot of unknowns, unknown revenue estimate, and so we're not going to get it back in an omnibus bill like we got the other ones back through that omnibus process. And so that's the difference, Madam Chair, and I think the concern that some of the members over here have is we have a tax meeting called without the ability to really delve into the tax issues that are the reason for calling the committee. So I just wanted to clarify the difference as I see it in regards to why that revenue estimate is important today versus the other ones.
I want to respond to that so everyone is clear. We are delving into the tax issues right now, and everyone keep delving. The Ameriprise issue that we did vote on in the tax committee did not have a revenue estimate as we voted the omnibus tax bill out of here this year. We also voted it off the floor this year without a revenue estimate, and I cited it both times we did not have the appropriate revenue estimate. It's finally come in about 2 days ago. So we have done that yet this year. Further discussion of the A7 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Roll call. Okay. Take the roll. Franceschi?
Yes.
Or no, excuse me. No. We're all tired. No. Atkins?
No.
Broad?
Yes.
Carlson?
No.
Dabney?
Yes.
De La Forest?
Yes.
Demmer?
Yes.
Dill?
Yep.
Earhart?
Yes.
Hillstrom?
No.
Yaros?
No.
Coonan?
No.
Coles?
Yes.
Lanning?
Yes.
Lesch?
No.
Liebling?
No.
Marquardt?
No.
Mullery?
No.
Paulson?
Aye. Rukavina?
No.
Simpson?
Yes.
Solberg?
No.
Tao?
No.
Tilbury?
No.
Wolfswager?
No.
Zellers?
Aye.
That's some bills and no. Ten ayes, 16 noes. Amendment does not prevail. Further amendments.
Madam Chair, I have a question here, and maybe this is the author. Somebody was kind enough to hand out a bunch of information, so that's always helpful. Department of Commerce, May 8th, 2007. Commerce Department. Glenn Wilson, back page, page 2. Number 6, line 6.8 to 6.10. Remove new language and require the pool to pay the 2% premium tax. Representative Sturridge, how does that match into what we're doing right now? I believe this is the insurance commissioner.
Representative Sturridge.
Representative Simpson, Madam Chair, no other pool or self-insured pays this premium tax. So.
But to that point, this is coming from the commissioner, who I believe is the Department of Commerce, and isn't the Department of Commerce over all the insurance in the state of Minnesota?
Representative Sturridge.
Mr. Chair, sure.
Well, I believe he is, and it looks to me like this is a recommendation that he's making. So,
Further amendments? Representative Coles?
Madam Chair, I'm not going to offer an amendment right now, but I'm not going to call Mr. Straczynski up here, but I do want members to know that Mr. Straczynski represents the service cooperatives, and he handed me a note here, and I heard earlier on the floor I'm not supposed to read from those, but I'm going to do it anyways. The service cooperatives issue over 260 school districts, so they insure over 260 school districts across the state of Minnesota. All of those plans are self-insured, which, as Mr. Michael was just talking about, means they're not paying the premium tax right now at any rate. Whether it's 1%, 2%, they're not paying the premium tax. So if this passes, and those 260 school districts are forced into this plan, those 260 school districts are now going to be paying the premium tax at whatever the rate ends up being as we find out that it's revenue neutral. So I want members to understand, as Representative De La Forest was talking about and Mr. Michael was explaining, it's a blended rate. So there are people who may end up paying less if they're paying the 1% now. There are a whole lot of people who aren't paying the premium tax now. Their costs for the health insurance, there's a new cost there. It's the tax component that wasn't there before. Now, their premiums may or may not go up or down. Those of you who have seen this issue before or seen the studies before know that the plan, if everybody's forced into it, there's going to be winners and losers in terms of the premium that people are going to be paying. And so people's premiums may or may not go up and down. People's tax costs may go up or down. So, Madam Chair and members, I want people to, be aware that I don't have a list of school districts that the service cooperatives insure. I'm sure that Mr. Straczynski could provide it to us. I'm not asking him to come up and do that at this point in time, but I'm guessing that there are probably districts and school districts in most of our legislative districts who are insured by a service cooperative or who are self-insured, and there's a hit to them.
Okay, so we have a couple minutes and we're adjourning. Unless there are tax amendments, Representative Paulson and Demmer. Representative Paulson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not trying to delay this, but I would like to offer the A9 amendment. I mean, the tax in the bill supports
Representative Paulson moves the A9 amendment. Members, this is a study. It's not a tax provision. Representative Paulson has moved it.
Madam Chair, I mean, the tax obviously supports the whole concept that's put in the bill. This amendment, if adopted, would do nothing to alter the course of the bill and the direction the Representative Sturridge is going at all. It simply says that, we have to have accurate data that's going to be used, and so we require an additional study done. The last time a study was done on this issue was in 2004, and so it's older data. And if we're going to have a tax that's going to go into place to support this effort, we should have accurate and updated data and have a qualified entity conduct the actuarial study. So that's all the amendment does.
Okay, did you want a roll call?
No.
All those in favor, for the discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Thank you, Representative Paulson, for the amendments. Representative Broad.
Mr. Chair, I don't have an amendment. I have a question for Mr. Michael. I'm wondering where this tax goes. Does it go into the general fund? Did I miss that?
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Broad, this tax would go on the health care access fund.
It says, okay, thank you, Mr. Michael. And then, Madam Chair, maybe I missed earlier as well regarding what target and where this appropriation is actually coming from. I'm trying to figure out how this $5 million or $4 million is actually expended. Did I miss that?
Representative Service or Representative Solberg? Representative Solberg.
Well, Madam Chair, appropriation is from the general fund. It's accounted for in the budget resolution. I can't remember exactly. I think it's $4,766,000 left in the budget resolution for other bills. That includes counting the claims bill as well.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then I have one final thing. I did want to make sure that Mr. Griffin got a chance to testify since
yes.
He's
and
here.
There are no other amendments, so we're going to hear if Mr. Griffin would like to say something only on the tax provisions. We'll take that. Anyone else on the tax provisions? Otherwise, we're moving back to the floor. Mr. Griffin, on the tax provisions.
My name is Phil Griffin. I'm representing Preferred One. I realize the late hour tonight, and I won't delay things. I will point out in our letter, which has been handed out, that we would ask that these provisions be removed from the bill, which provide exemptions. We think this is swaying the revenue that is going into the MCHA fund away from MCHA. The losses there are already increasing dramatically from less than a 0.5% of what premium used to be to now over 2% in just 7 years. Madam Chair, members of the committee, that should be done in the Health Committee where we talk about MCHA issues and should not be done here in the Tax Committee. We would urge you to remove that section of the bill in the Minnesota Premium Care Tax as well.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Griffin. Sorry to rush you. Is there anyone else who wanted to testify from the public on the tax? Seeing none, seeing no other amendments, further discussion, we're going to vote. Representative Broad.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'm sitting watching Representative Lanning seething, and I've never seen that before. I think his sentiments, he's probably one of the most mild-mannered calm guys here, and to have him this worked up about something that's obviously being just jammed up somewhere, I'd like to move to lay the bill on the table.
Representative Zellers moves to lay the bill on the table. I don't know. You know, I heard a discussion about this just recently in another committee, and it was decided, I believe, in Representative Carlson's committee that that's out of order. Is that right? An amendment. Okay. So Representative Zellers moves to lay the bill on the table. Discussion?
No.
Or not debatable? Non-debatable. All those in favor? Pardon?
Roll call, Madam Chair.
Representative Zellers moves a roll call. The clerk will take the roll.
Lynn Chesky?
No.
Atkins?
No.
Broad?
Yes.
Carlson?
No.
Dabney?
Yes.
De La Forest?
Yes.
Demmer?
Yes.
Dill?
No.
Earhart?
Yes.
Hillstrom?
No.
Yaros?
No.
Coonan?
No.
Coles?
Yes.
Lanning?
Yes.
Lesh?
No.
Liebling?
No.
Marquardt?
No.
Mullery? Paulson?
Yes.
Rukavina?
No.
Simpson?
Yes.
Solberg?
No.
Tao?
No.
Tilbury?
No.
Wolfschlager?
No.
Zellers?
Aye.
On a vote of 10 ayes, 16 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Paulson.
Yes, for roll call on the bill, Madam Chair.
Representative Paulson, we'll wait for her just for a second. So the amendment to lay it on the table did not prevail. And now Representative Paulson moves a roll call on the bill. Representative Broad.
Well, Madam Chair, there's a lot of people who are in favor of this bill and a lot of people who are opposed to the bill. It was suggested on the House floor that it was coming to the Tax Committee as a courtesy to Representative Coles and the minority. The fact of the matter is that it's coming to the Tax Committee because the rules say it has to. So when you just listen to the meter of people's speech, Madam Chair, as we rush through this, I think we ought to be concerned. You know, I don't think a bill ought to just be thrown through. And as I listen to you speak, Madam Chair, we're talking very quickly because we're trying to get this done in 5 minutes of time. Is that the right way to do things? I mean, is that how we want to pass things through? Is that how a bill that has this significant impact to people, whether you're a school employee or a teacher like my mom or somebody else, I mean, all you got to do is listen to how fast people are speaking to know that this is being rushed through. Let's make sure that these issues are talked about. The tax issue, we have no revenue estimate. That's great. I'm not sure why we're sitting in a tax committee talking about this issue and zooming it through with fast talking, I think they called on Saturday Night Live. Madam Chair, members, vote no.
Thank you, Representative Broad. Members, we have discussed it 35 minutes, probably longer than most bills we've heard this year in this committee. Actually, Representative Sertich, believe it or not. I would like to say that, you know, I do understand that people feel rushed, as do I. This committee was scheduled for noon today. This is how the final day of the session work, and I appreciate the frustration. Representative Broad, you missed that I did apologize to Representative Foles when he came in, that it's right to say it was not a courtesy for the minority. It was, in fact, a tax provision, and I appreciate that you have clarified that once again because you are absolutely correct. Thank you for that. The clerk will take the roll on the Representative Paulson had asked. Paulson had asked for the roll call. Clerk will take the roll.
Lynchewski?
No. Yes. Did it again. Sorry.
Aye.
Sorry.
Atkins?
Aye.
Broad?
No.
Carlson?
Aye.
Dabney?
No.
Deal Forrest?
No.
Demmer?
No.
Dill?
Yep.
Earhart?
No.
Hillstrom?
Yes.
Yarros?
Aye.
Coonan?
Aye.
Coles?
No.
Lanning?
No.
Lesh?
Aye.
Liebling?
Yes.
Marquardt?
Yes.
Mowry?
Pass.
Paulson?
No.
Rukavina?
Aye.
Simpson? Simpson?
No.
Solberg?
Yes.
Tao?
Yes.
Silberry?
Yes.
Wolfslager?
Yes.
Zellers?
No.
Mowry?
On a vote of 15 ayes and 9 nays, the bill has passed and is sent to the, I don't remember the motion, to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
Folks who are here for Representative Carlson's bill and Representative Dill's bill, we will hear those on Monday. We apologize for that and we appreciate you been hanging around all day. Monday, 10 a.m., we are